Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, April 19th, 2015. This is episode 1180. Enjoy! The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, smartphones. You know we do this each weekend. It's kind of fun. Take a look at what's going on in technology. And more importantly, and I really, you know, like to focus on this, help you use it. You know, I think a lot of times, especially on TV, because it makes for great pictures. When you see technology shows, it's someday cars will fly. It's always someday. And I don't, we could talk a little bit about someday, I guess. But I like to talk about today. And goodness knows, we live in amazing times. Amazing times. I feel like with the smartphones we carry in our pockets today, we are carrying, supercomputers basically around with us, and we get mad if they aren't instantaneously, you know, on and if the internet isn't great. You know, that's that great Louis C.K., the comic, has a great bit he does. What is it? Everything's amazing and nobody's happy. We forget. It's so easy to forget what amazing times we live in. So that's kind of, I like to celebrate that a little bit. And then, of course, sometimes I get a little negative. I go negative on it. Sometimes I say, well, maybe amazing times, but, you know, the internet is spying on you. Or Apple Watch isn't available this week. What? My goodness. Isn't it funny, too, how we, as soon as the new version of Android came out, I saw people immediately saying, okay, well, what about version 6? As soon as Windows 10 comes out, people, where's Windows 11? They literally are saying, what's going to be in Windows 11? And maybe that's not a great trend. Maybe that's not really good. We're not satisfied. You just enjoy it for a little bit. Virtual reality, of course, the next big thing. We talk a lot about, or you hear a lot of talk about, something called Oculus Rift. Have you heard about that? Facebook owns it now. It was a Kickstarter crowdsourced project to create a virtual reality visor that you'd wear. You wouldn't be able to see anything, but it would have two screens, and your eyes would, it would make the world, not only with the world kind of three-dimensional, but as you turn your head or look up and down, the screens would, as if you were actually turning your head, follow your gaze. Every time I use these things, I get nauseous. And they've been around for 20 years. I mean, this is not new. They've just gotten smaller, faster, better. The thing that makes you a little queasy is the what we call latency, where a few milliseconds lag between the time you turn your head and the time the actual screen changes is enough to make your inner ear go, get me out of here. I had a jet pilot email me after I mentioned this and said, well, in the flight sims, in the trainers, what we do is we a cold washcloth to the back of the neck. He says, it works every time. So next time I wear one of these virtual reality helmets, I'm going to make sure I have some iced washcloths all rolled up ready for just the back of my neck there. I'll just say, it's what the pilots do. I don't know if that really works, but it probably is very soothing. There's a newer thing. Microsoft announced this, showed this a few months ago, that I think is actually even more interesting, called augmented reality. It's not virtual reality. It's not that you're in something and you're looking around and you're in a new whole new world. It's you're looking through glasses at your regular world, and superimposed on the regular world, almost magically, is information. So among other things, what you would see here's an example Microsoft gave. You're trying to fix your plumbing. and a master plumber gets on the other end, like Skype almost, on the other end and says, yeah, yeah, see that there, that Framitz bolt? You got to turn that counterclockwise. And at the same time he's saying that, he can actually draw a red counterclockwise arrow around the Framitz bolt. So you got to use your number 9 wrench on there, as everyone knows. Not the number 10. Put that down. Because he can see what you're doing, and he could even float a little wrench to match. Or imagine playing a game like Minecraft where you're building things, and you're building the thing in the real world on your coffee table, except that it's alive. And, of course, if you were to take off the glasses, it'd all disappear. See, that's a very interesting thing to me, and a little less, apparently, a little less nauseating. These are things. This is called the HoloLens. Here's the amazing thing. Okay, you want to be amazed? Microsoft says, yeah, we'll have that this fall. Okay. It's the old internet meme. Shut up and take my money. Where do I sign up? People who played with it, a number of my close collaborators, people like Paul Thurrott at Thurrott.com and Mary Jo Foley, who writes for Microsoft at ZDNet, have tried them and said, you won't. It's better than you even imagine. It's incredible, seamless integration of this computer interface onto the real world. I think in some ways the future of computer interfaces. I'm not sure for driving, but that's good news because we're not going to be driving in about 5 years. The idea of you piloting a car, well, people go, are you insane? You could die in one of those things. Let the computer do it. The computer can do it. I know. Right now we're going, no. I'm going to hover my hands over the wheels. I'm not trusting that computer. But what will happen is, and it already is gradually these computer-assisted technologies leak into your car bit by bit. Don't change lanes now. Let me take it from here. I'll park it for you. In fact, you can get that right now, the parking assist. It's kind of amazing. I think Ford has it. I don't know if anybody else has it, but I've done it on a Ford. You're sitting in the car. It says, okay, you press a button, says, okay, I'm looking for a parking space I can fit. And you drive slowly along, and it goes, beep, beep, I see a spot. Pull forward. Okay. Now let go of the wheel. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the wheel goes, zzz, zzz, and it perfect, you know, just perfect. Just like the thing I could never, you parallel parking, perfect. But of course a computer can do that better than it can. Of course it can. One little tip. Once you get parked, you should probably now turn off the engine and you know, put the parking brake on. Because I didn't. I just sat there in an astounded awe as the car idled and continued to back up into the car behind me. Hey, this is the problem. It's kind of partial computer assist. You need it's either all or nothing. If you're going to park the car, finish the job. What, now you want me to put my foot on the brake and set the brake and turn off the engine? Come on, you did the whole thing. Of course, with every advance like that, then there's all, you know, and I have to say, I think it's a little overstated. I understand the threats, but there's always the negative nanny who comes on there and says, well, you know, that car computer can be hacked. It was on 60 Minutes a month ago, right? Was it Leslie Stahl? They're driving along in a car, and the hackers say, okay, watch this. Okay, we're going to put you through a slalom lane of cones, trying to hit the brake. The brake stops working. She runs right into the cones. Because the hackers are sitting there on the sideline going, hmm. Now, it's one of those things. It's a theoretical possibility. My friend Nick Bilton, who writes for the New York Times, swears. Now, I don't know if I believe this. And only Nick was there to see this. But swears two kids came along and unlocked his car. They stole. He has a Prius, which has a fob that you unlock. Most cars now do, right? An unlocking fob. And he says they captured. This is the stuff of paranoia. If your friends tell you this, you're going to go, yeah, right. They captured the signal and unlocked not only my car, but all the cars down the street got unlocked. Yeah. And then they flew off into space. There's always and we should be prudent. And you're going to hear a lot of this. Oh, the Internet of Things, which is this idea of putting technology in all the, you know, the thermostat and the microwave. Oh, man, a hacker gets in there. He could turn your heat up. Well, that's true, but it's hard to do, and I don't think, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. Let's put it that way. You can always point out the negative. Let's focus on the positive. 8888 Ask Leo. Hey, that's my number. You want to call? Let's talk. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Nathan Staten, our musical director. He's just taunting me with great stuff. 8888 Ask Leo is our phone number. And don't forget the website, techguylabs.com, because that's where I put, actually not me, James DeRuvo and Josh Windisch, put all the things we say, all the links, information, audio and video after the fact. It's all at techguylabs.com. Heather Hammond, our phone ranger, is here. She's been screening the calls, getting some great folks ready for the show. It's not really... You worked for, before me, you worked for the world famous Deanie Dell. And I think probably it's the case that talk radio, you understand this, maybe the audience doesn't, is really a show that is a combination of the host, but the calls. The calls make the show. You wouldn't want me sitting here for 3 hours gassing on. It's the calls that make the show.
That's right.
And so really the calls, the person who, I don't even want to call you the call screener. You produce the show and control its flow, its content, its feel, its look, everything by the calls you select and the way you carefully groom them for their appearance. Is that right?
Yes.
You should get a raise.
Larry was here yesterday, in fact, and I said, look, tomorrow's different. If you're going to get on.
Tomorrow is different.
You better wear a tie and a jacket.
You're wearing opera gloves. How those go up? They're going up to your bicep, a feather black feather boa, and a ball gown.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that.
I
myself dressed up a little bit. Converse ball gown? No, that's cool. That's hip, right? No, that's really, like, I love that when people wear, like, fancy clothes and sneaks.
Mm-hmm.
That's very modern. But this is the reason we're a little dressed up. And, of course, it's the radio, so you don't know. But the reason I'm drinking champagne and you're having a mimosa and cupcakes are coming later.
Oh.
Is because we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of our company, which is not the tech guy, but TWIT, T-W-I-T. The tech guy celebrated its 10th anniversary last year. But TWIT, which was the podcast network formed up around that and other shows, is now 10 years old as of April 17th. So we're going to have a big party after the show. You're all invited to watch remotely.
Tickets went fast.
Oh, man, did they? Within a week, we sold out. So
while
Larry
is sophisticated, his tech is not quite up to snuff.
Larry knows his stuff, but his stuff is not up to snuff. Irvine, California. Larry, thank you, Heather. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Larry.
So it's a privilege to talk with you. I've been listening to you a lot. In fact, my wife calls me Larry Laporte, so I know I'm listening to you too much.
You know, I think that the name that's available, I believe. There's Leo and Lisa, okay. And now I think Larry. Good.
There you go, Larry Laporte. Anyway, just one little follow-up on one of the calls from yesterday. Phantom Ranch has had electricity since 1960.
Wow. Since when? 1960?
1966.
So, what did you do before 1966?
Before that, it was a generator, they said.
Holy canamoli.
Yeah, so he can just go down there and plug his devices in and won't need to take all that stuff with him.
Good. That's good to know.
Yeah. So the reason I'm calling you today is we are in Irvine, but we're moving to Temecula Wine Country, and it's kind of a rural area. We're building a house out there, and all I have right now is DSL, so it's like, you know, 0.7 down and 0.3 up. I mean, it's really, really slow. But the good news is Verizon has a pretty active presence in that area, and in my property, if I walk around, I get 3G in some areas, and I get 4G in others. So I was thinking maybe what I would do is go out and get a Verizon Jetpack and then just use that as my wireless internet. But it keeps going back and forth from 3G to 4G, so it started me thinking about...
You're on the edge. On the edge.
Yeah. Right. So will one of these... You know, I've looked at these sites. Will an antenna or an amplifier help?
Yeah, so you can, in fact, get but what you want is a cell phone amplifier, basically.
Right.
And now I... You know, the story I tell is a friend of mine who runs a little company called Petaluma Wireless down the road here. It's a third party. They sell cell phones. And he moved into a nice new space. But this, and this happens. He neglected to see whether cell phones worked in the store, and they don't. So
yeah.
That's kind of makes it hard to sell these things. So he was able to buy a device that basically you put an antenna out the door and it runs back and you have a little amplifier. And, of course, even better, you could, I think, aim an antenna, a directional antenna, towards the cell tower, pick it up and relay it on. However,
right.
However, those things, I think, do not do the latest. I'm not sure, but I don't. My guess is they don't do LTE. So you would be repeating 3G again.
Yeah, so if I go to look for one of these, make sure that it does 4G or LTE.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's authentication going on that might make that difficult. But check.
And then the second thing, the Jetpack that I get from Verizon, that thing is like a little mini router, isn't it?
Yeah. It's basically a Wi-Fi router in a card, and what it does is it gets the data from the 3 or 4G network, and then you can add, usually on those things, I don't know about that particular model, 5 different people can use it at once.
Okay, and then, so that becomes like a DHCP server.
It does the whole thing. It's like your Wi-Fi access point.
Right, so therefore I can do file transfers between my Mac and my laptop or whatever.
No, you haven't really set up a network there. So there is another way to do that is to set up an ad hoc Wi-Fi network with your Mac, your laptop.
I got it. I didn't think of that. Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then the Mac is going to get its internet from the access. We can't do it by a Wi-Fi, though. We'd have to do a hardwired internet because you only have one Wi-Fi thing in the Mac. You get it.
Right.
Larry, you grokked it right away. I like that.
Yeah, well, I'm learning from the master.
Mm. Once you understand
these
acronyms, they all make sense. Yes.
I like the bow tie. Really cool looking.
I'm going more in the bow tie direction these days. I think bow tie and suspenders. I think it's an age thing. I think pretty soon I'll be sitting on the porch playing checkers.
it even matches your hair. I think you have that kind of very distinguished look.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Well, Gil, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
I should get a directional antenna, right?
If you can get a directional, that will, and then you need to know where the cell tower is, and you need to aim it at that. Wilson Tech makes this.
Wilson Tech, okay. Yeah. And do I ask Verizon where their tower is, or how do I find it?
No, you just play with it till you get better signal. It's actually easy to do. You just watch the signal until it goes up.
Got it. Okay. Leo, thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Right. There is a secret code you can enter into your phone that'll give you real-time, very granular information about how your signal is. You can use that if you know the secret. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, you want to talk high tech, I want to talk high tech with you. Brad is next on the line from Sarasota, Florida. Hi, Brad.
Leo, Uncle Leo, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Nephew Brad.
It's been a long time.
You can't have any of the money. I've written you out of the will.
I know. I'm so sorry about the incident.
The incident, which shall be hereforth referred to as the incident. No, we're just fooling around. What can I do for you, Brad?
Well, congratulations on 10 years of TWiT. I've been with you ever since the screensaver days,
Thank you.
Watched you evolve over the years. It's been great.
Yeah, it's a real blessing. I feel very fortunate to be able to do what I'm doing. I always had the dream,
absolutely,
like Mickey Rooney, of having putting on a show in the barn, and I got to do it pretty much. This is it.
Yeah, the dream come true, sir.
Yeah,
many, many moons ago, I won a contest with you and the Giz Whiz. I won a Maxdoor One Touch Drive.
Nice.
So my current situation is related. That drive has passed on, and I've gotten a new Western Digital 1 terabyte now that I put my media on.
How big was that original Maxdoor drive?
Oh, I ended up winning the 250 gigabyte one.
That's how long ago that was. You can't buy a 250 gig drive anymore unless it's an SSD.
right. So it died. I got a new one. I got this TCL 55-inch television. It's a Roku television.
Yeah. We buy a lot of TCL TVs because they're cheap.
Yeah, and I went with them based on Steve's recommendation that these guys are going to be one of the new Samsung, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it. Absolutely love it.
The Chinese companies have decided, they looked at what South Korean companies like LG and Samsung did, and they said, okay, we're next. Our turn here. And so there are a number of them. TCL is one who I feel like they're going to come on strong in the next few years.
Absolutely. So I hook up my little drive, and I can play some of the files with the built-in media player. I don't want to stream it over the air. I just plug it in directly. So what I'm wondering, I have a lot of high def content with an MKV container. Do you or anyone in the chat room know of a Roku channel that plays MKV?
Yeah, Plex would. So you can put Plex on your Roku, and that actually is a much more, now suddenly you have a very capable system, but you need a computer running Plex as a server, and then the MKV files are on the computer, and then the Roku picks them up and plays them through the Plex client running on the Roku. That would be one way to do it. The other way is, of course, to unwrap it. The MKV, you very correctly said, I'm impressed that you called it a wrapper. These .mkv files are inside, still H.264 and the like, but they have an MKV shell. And you can. It's simple to get tools that will convert that to MP4, and then you'd be fine. So that would be your two choices. I'm sure the chat room will have more to say about that. Roku's pretty amazing. In fact, Roku announced this week some really interesting updates. If you had a Roku 3, the latest Roku, you can now talk to the remote. I've been doing it anyway, but now it listens, and you can search for things, which is very nice. And they have updated the Roku 2, which is their less expensive Roku, and it's faster. So this is ROKU. We talk about it a lot. ROKULabs.com. It's such a small niche, and yet I feel like everybody I know loves them and uses them. And yet they've only sold fewer than a million, I think. It's a very small niche. The idea is taking a TV. You could take this TCL. He has Roku built into his TCL, but you could take a TV that doesn't have any smarts, add this Roku device. It connects the TV to the internet through the Roku device. Think of it as a cable box for the internet. And then there are thousands of stations, channels, some paid, some not, that you can get through this Roku. It just adds the internet to your TV. And of course, as an internet broadcaster, these things make me happy. They make me smile. They make my tummy warm inside, because that's what we want. That's what you want. You don't want to be limited to the channels that can afford to broadcast over the air. That's a very expensive proposition. You've got to get a license and everything. You don't want to be limited to what your cable company provides. And Roku means that you have the vast internet. And by the way, a lot of stuff like HBO can be seen on the Roku. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Robin, North Hills, California. Hi, Robin. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. My email, my Yahoo email, keeps getting hacked, you know, sending out a message that sort of looks like it's from me.
Why is Yahoo, I really wish to know this. Why? This happens so much. It's not just you. What is it that Yahoo's doing that makes their email so vulnerable? I don't know.
I don't know, but I've been using the same address for many years, and I have all my contacts in it, and I would not want to go through the hassle of switching.
Yeah,
but my friend emailed me this morning, and you can even see if you do reply.
Yeah,
it even shows that the reply would go to a different address.
Well, that doesn't mean that's. Yeah. Okay. So, why? What makes you think that you're? So there's a couple of things that could happen. It could look like you're getting bounce back email and spam and stuff that looks like it's coming from you, but that's easy to spoof. Email was not designed well in the early days when it was designed, and has never been effective at authenticating the sender. Anybody composes the sender. So
I have to allow my contacts.
Well, so you're saying you're getting, or your friends are getting email from you?
My friends are getting email from me.
And they say, this looks like you. So, it's got personal details. Is it asking for money?
No, it has some links that, of course, I think everyone knows by now not to click those.
Yeah. And you changed your Yahoo password because you said it keeps getting hacked, and it gets hacked again.
Well, it happened several years ago. Back then, you were actually able to call Yahoo. I called them, and they told me what I should do is change my password.
Yeah.
And it's happened several times since. And
does Yahoo's use his security questions, too? You've changed those, I assume.
I don't think I'd ever set any up.
We don't like those. So all companies are challenged because they, on the one hand, they want you to use their service and they would like to be secure. They'd like you to use a long, random, not memorable password. But at the same time, they know people forget passwords, so they need to set up some other secondary method of authenticating. And they could use your social security number, except that would be illegal. So they do these, I hate this, they do these secret questions, except many times they're things that somebody could figure out about you. You know, what's your daughter's name? What was your dog's name when you were a kid? Things like that.
And things you'll forget, or change your mind about, what's your favorite food? Well,
best solution for this is to get a password vault that you control, that you encrypt, that's your password. You can use nonsense answers. It'll allow you, first of all, use really long, really random passwords because it remembers them, so you don't have to. And then you can also use really nonsensical answers to those questions, which you store in the password vault, so that you really that helps. But I still feel like there's something structurally wrong with Yahoo because this happens way too much. Are you asking for advice?
Yes.
Get rid of Yahoo. No. You're stuck there. I think locking it down a little bit better. I'm going to put one of our chatters, it does IT, I guess, and he says, this happens so much to my clients. I've written a standard form letter that I send them. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes at techguylabs.com because he has some recommendations and links for what to do and so forth. My ultimate suggestion is get off Yahoo, man. Seriously. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Robin Hetz asked such a good question, and it's so universal. I want to spend a little more time with it. Robin has a Yahoo Mail account. She has her contacts there as well, and it's been hacked more than once. And what happens is everybody on her contact list gets an email from her ostensibly with links. Sometimes I've had this happen. I mentioned this before. My gardener, I got an email from him. He'd just been there yesterday saying, oh, help me, I'm in Europe and my passport and wallet were stolen. I have no money. I'd love to come back and landscape your yard. But first you need to send me a couple of $1,000. I'll pay you back as soon as I landscape your yard. You know, they had read through his email, knew enough to know he was a landscape gardener, then forged this email to all his contacts. It's easy to forge. What forged? You send the email to all his contacts through his account. And I bet you the bad guys got some money. I immediately sent him a note saying, hey, Owen, are you in Europe? Because you were here yesterday. How did you do that? And, and by the way, you might want to change your account password on Yahoo. Yahoo does support something called second factor, which is great if you can do it. I would turn it on. And that you can do that in your account settings and under security. You say, whenever I need to log into my Yahoo accounts, my password's not sufficient. You have to register a phone number, a cell phone number, and it will send you a text with a 6-digit code that's your second factor. That way, a bad guy would not only have to get your password, he'd have to get your phone. Nice. So I would turn that on. Yahoo still requires, unfortunately, two-factor doesn't work, and Google has this problem as well. A lot of email clients say, I don't understand this. So you have to make a special application-specific password. But that password only works with that application. You can revoke it. It's just better. It's not perfect, but it's just better. You should also get rid of the security questions. If it asked you what your high school mascot was, don't give it the right answer. Make up, aardvarks, but you have to remember that, so keep track of that somewhere. Those security questions are really a vulnerability. And as I started to say, I mean, this is the problem. Companies want you to have a secure system, but they also understand that users are terrible with passwords. This is something brand new. We never had to have passwords before. You might have had to have a locker combination. That's about it. Now you have hundreds of passwords for hundreds of different websites and accounts, and we never had to have that before, and we're not very good at it. The best password is long. I mean long, not 8 characters, not 10 characters, 15. If your company allowed 20, most sites will allow 20. Use 20. I use longer than that because I don't care, because I use a program to remember it. And by the way, not only long, but random. If you're using English language words, that ain't random. Bad guys have all sorts of great tricks for figuring that out. Much better to use just random letters, upper and lower case, numbers. And if the site will allow you to use punctuation, go ahead and use that. Now you've got 20 characters, completely random. That is an unbreakable password. It's also an unmemorable password. So you need to use something like LastPass or 1Password or Dashlane. These are all little apps that will allow you to create these passwords randomly, and it will save them so that you can pull them up for future reference. Much better. And you can do it. I converted my mom to LastPass. It was hard, and it doesn't work for everything, like her Wi-Fi password she needs to use, but that's okay. You don't need to have a great password for your Wi-Fi, because somebody's, in order to get into your Wi-Fi, they'd have to sit outside your house. And you'd probably notice a guy with a laptop furiously typing passwords to get into your... So don't worry about that. 8888 Ask Leo. Then the next step, of course, is get rid of Yahoo Mail. I don't know. And again, I don't know why Yahoo Mail is so vulnerable. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the people who use it tend to be less sophisticated, so are more likely to do things that can pierce their security. That's possible. Maybe I shouldn't blame Yahoo. But Gmail has a great second factor system. It works really well. You know what? Maybe I'm mistaken to blame Yahoo. Maybe it's not their fault. I've been using Yahoo Mail since it started, and I haven't ever been cracked into. The other thing to do is not put your contacts in there. Store your contacts somewhere else, so that way if somebody gets your Yahoo Mail, at least they won't be able to spam your contacts. And if you think you've been hacked, immediately change your password. That's very important. Good luck, Robin. Mike in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Mike. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello. It's a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
I've been listening to you since the call for help and all that.
Holy McGillicuddy.
Back on the old satellite. Back, yep. I actually used to have an old C-band satellite dish to get you.
That's great. Thank you.
That's how long I've been around.
You're an old-timer like me.
Oh, man.
That's why I'm wearing bow tie and suspenders. And by the way, for those of you who are listening on the radio wondering how I look like Wilford Brimley. So there you go. Now imagine that. That's your tech guy. A guy in bow tie and suspenders who looks like Wilford Brimley. What can I do? What can I do for you?
Well, I originally called because I'm trying to decide at what point I should think about whether it's worth putting any more money into my old 5-year-old MacBook. Or whether I should say screw it and just deal with it until it breaks and get a new one. I just don't know. I've yet to put Yosemite on it.
I think it's time. I'll tell you why. You know, they always say that dogs age 7 times faster than humans. So one dog year is 7 human years. So if your dog's 10 years old, it's 70 years old, right? The computer's
probably about like
15.
That.
I say 15. So you are now using a 7, what is it? You said 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, it's March 2010, so it's just a little over 5 years old.
That's right on the edge.
Everything I wanted to do.
It's 75, so it's not dead yet. God, I hope not. but it's slowing down. If you can afford a new computer, of course, in 5 years, leaps and bounds have happened in terms of speed, but significantly in speed.
Yeah.
Power. The screens look so much better. So if you can
do a thing, that wouldn't do a thing for me. I'm totally blind.
Well, then there's no advantage there. Are you using? Do you use a screen reader?
I've used VoiceOvers built into the Mac.
It works well for you?
It's great. It is awesome. What's really sad is that's really sad about Mac that it bothers me is that it was all this time, and we've had accessibility in the Mac for I don't even know how many years.
Oh, yeah. Apple's strongly committed to this. Yeah.
But the problem is there are things that I still have to use my Windows virtual machine for.
Ugh.
Because software does not exist on the Mac to do what I want to do in an accessible manner. I can't do IRC, for example, because...
VoiceOver won't work with it, huh?
No. The way they made VoiceOver, whenever new text comes up, it just dumps it and immediately speaks the new text, regardless of the fact that it was still speaking the old
text. Well, it's a little bit... I can see how that IRC might be a challenge. In any event, as long as your computer's...
I can do the Windows perfectly.
What's gone wrong with your Mac?
It's just the fact that I need a little more hard drive space, and the MagSafe connector is flaky on it.
It's exactly what you'd expect with a 75-year-old. It's just, the knees go out. They're the first to go out, the connectors.
Yeah. My USB ports are starting to get a little weird, and that really bothers me.
You could take it to the Apple store and say, how much to get this thing back on its legs? And if it's $500, then that would be, then you could get a $1,000 MacBook Air, which would probably be much faster, bigger hard drive, and would only be $500 more, so...
Oh, yeah, and would basically boot in, for all intents and purposes, instantaneously.
Yeah. The new computers, because of the solid-state drives, boot so fast, they operate... Solid-state drives make more of a difference than a faster processor. That's a huge difference.
I've got one friend that has a MacBook Air, and it makes me sick every time he turns it on. I'm just like, he hits the power button, boom, it's there, and I'm like... Okay.
The things that's going to push you into it, and Apple does this, is they're not going to upgrade to the newest operating system. Do they still upgrade? Could you put Yosemite on it if you wanted to?
I haven't even tried.
Yeah, but we probably shouldn't. But at some point,
iPhone 6.
Yeah, at some point, apps and the iPhone and iTunes are going to require you to do that, and then the computer will say, "But no, you can't," and then you're going to have to buy a new one. I don't know if you're there yet. It's always you're really at that tough spot where. Is it worth putting more into this one? Should I get a bigger drive? I think you probably can't even fix the MagSafe connector. This is a tough one. If we're 7 or 8 years old, I'd say absolutely time to get a new one. But you might be able to get it a limp along for a few more years. And if money's tight, I would. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. If you're ready to get a new iPad, I got the finger. Air 2 is so nice. Maybe a new iPhone. Maybe a new phone. Maybe you have a Samsung phone. You want to go to iPhone, or you have an iPhone. You want to go Samsung. Gazelle.com. That's the place to sell your used gadgets. Get top dollar. When you go to Gazelle.com, you don't have to take my word for it. You get a quote that's good for 30 days. So you can go right now and say, well, if I were going to sell you this, how much would you send me? And if you want to shop around, go ahead and shop around. Find out, because you've got 30 days to take advantage of that quote. They even buy broken iPhones, iPads. So sell your smart devices, trade them in for cash or PayPal credit or Amazon gift card. They'll bump it up 5%. They pay you fast. If you forget to wipe your data, don't worry. They will do it for you. We've sold so many old gadgets now to Gazelle. 2 million-plus trade-ins for over $200 million paid off. To customers at Gazelle.com. And you may say, as I did, well, what happens to the stuff they buy? Well, some of it they sell at eBay, but the best they keep back, they hold back, they run it through their very rigorous 30-point inspection, and if it passes the tests, they will sell it as a certified pre-owned gadget on Gazelle. This is something new they've started doing. I love it. For iPhones, Samsung Galaxy phones, or iPads, the place to go, Gazelle.com, for a very good price. Two levels of quality on these. Some are certified like new, which means they are, in every case, indistinguishable from a brand new product. Or certified good, which means they might show some gentle signs of wear, but you'll save even more money. And in every case, they've been put through that inspection. They're fully functional. And, of course, you have a 30-day risk-free return. Gazelle is a great place to replace your stolen or lost or broken device at a very good price. Or just why buy new? Everybody knows, it's silly to buy new. But if you can get a used device that's certified like new, why not? G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Try it today. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, smartphones, home theater, and yes, digital photography. Chris Marquardt, our digital photo man, joins us about half an hour from right now. But right now, what we're doing is answering your questions, talking high tech, having a little chat, a little powwow, a little confab at 888 Ask Leo. I'd love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. The website is techguylabs.com. If you miss something, you say, what did he say? If you hear a link but you don't have time to write it down, or you're driving, don't write it down if you're driving, don't worry. Techguylabs.com. It's going to be there when you get home. We put all the information up there. And then we add to it. We add the audio, the video, so you can actually go to an individual call, watch it, listen to it, and even comment on it. And that's all free. There's no sign up. We don't want any information from you. Just thanks to our great sponsors, we don't need to do that. It's just free for you. TechGuyLabs.com. Jessica's in Simi Valley, California. Hi, Jessica. Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo. Good to talk to you today.
Thanks, Jessica. What can I do for you?
Really quick, I just wanted to say you would be great as the voice of the guy on the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland.
There are no windows and no doors.
Yes.
That's the guy who does that, of course, is an immortal voiceover artist. I can't remember.
Well, you'd be a good backup.
Yeah, well, he's not immortal. He's actually passed on. His voice lives on in the Haunted Mansion. I love that. I love that place.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, my question, well, it's kind of a threefold question here. My PC is driving me crazy. I've been using a PC my whole life. I run Windows 7, and it actually has 25 updates that will not update.
Aye! That's important now. We got to fix that. Because those updates, if they're critical updates, those are security updates that you really need to have installed.
It says it's successful, but the minute I go to shut the computer off, it says updating 1 out of 25, and it takes forever to update. And then when I turn it back on, it says they all failed. So I don't know. I don't know what.
So Microsoft, this is not unusual, and you can't blame Microsoft. In-place updates like this are hard to do, and what's happening is one of them is blocking it. The oldest one is sitting there going, and it's not installing, and then Windows will not continue if it misses an update. It can't just go to the next one. So what you have to do is unstick it. And there is Microsoft on their support site. There are so many steps to this, I can't really walk you through it. And the steps vary. But Microsoft on their support site has a troubleshooter for exactly this problem because it's so common. So it's support.microsoft.com, but you could also just Google Microsoft support Windows update issues or something like that, or troubleshooting, and you'll be able to find it. We'll also put a direct link in the show notes if you want to go to techguylabs.com. It takes a little time, but we'll get that up there.
I appreciate that. I'll definitely check that out because it has to be done. I mean, I'm keeping my PC.
Okay. No, and it has to be done because it's in effect an announcement. When Microsoft puts out those fixes for big security updates, it's in a way Microsoft saying, yeah, we got a problem. And it's not very hard to look at the patch, see what it's fixing. You immediately know where the problem lies. And bad guys start working on it right away if they haven't already figured it out. In some cases, they have. So either there's an exploit out already, or there will be soon. And that means you can't really safely surf the net because you could go to a site that could just, without your doing anything, attack you and take over your computer.
Oh, gosh.
And by the way, what happens, first of all, it isn't that common. Now, it's a little more common in Windows than anywhere else, but it isn't that common. But what happens is it's not necessarily going to mess you up. It could. You could get something like a crypto locker on there, which would encrypt your personal files and get for ransom. Hold them for ransom, saying you can't, hey, we just encrypted your files. If you want the key, send $300, to P.O. Box 1001, Grand Central Station, New York, New York. And they mean it. It is encrypted in there, that's bad. They also might take over your computer in ways you don't even know. They might use it to attack other systems. to send spam. There's all sorts of bad things. Sometimes you don't even know you got attacked. So, yes, you want to fix these.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I'm definitely going to look into fixing that for sure. It's actually been a problem for a year.
Yeah. So that means you've got, 25 updates. That makes sense. That means you've got a lot. You got a lot of fixing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that actually leads me to my next question is that we are wanting to try out a Mac because we have, you know, iPhones, we have an iPad, and an Apple TV.
Apple knew this, by the way. When they started making the iPod, they figured, they call it the halo effect. Eventually, we'll get them all.
Right. So we have about a $1,000 budget, and we are looking at the Mac Mini. I do photography, and I was thinking, you know, we could try out using a Mac Mini, see how we like it, and it would go to the kids next year.
Perfect.
And then I could think about, you know, upgrading, Perfect. Getting something a little bit.
The Mini is the most affordable Mac. It's a very decent Mac, but you have to supply your own keyboard, mouse, and monitor.
Right. So that's not a problem.
Yeah, because you have one. You're called your PC.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're looking at getting the 2.6 gigahertz. Now, should we get the 8 gigs or the 16 gigs? Because I use Photoshop, Lightroom.
Yeah, I'd get as much as you can afford. I can't remember if the new, I think the new Mac Minis, you can upgrade the RAM. But I would get Macs really benefit from more memory, and Photoshop especially. So, yeah. Okay. So do you have a Creative Cloud subscription?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice, because then it'll just transfer. Right, you just cancel it on your PC and you move it right over to the Mac.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. That actually is one of the great arguments for the Creative Cloud, is just transfer it to another computer. You get two installs, but if you've already used both of them, cancel one.
Oh, no, just one. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the idea is desktop, laptop.
Okay.
Two installs.
My next question is this Mac Mini going to be faster than my PC? Right now, I'm running a quad-core. My PC is about 6 years old.
Yes.
Running Windows 7.
Say no more. Yes. 6 years old is all I needed to hear. Yes.
Okay.
The new Mac Mini has fairly fast processors. What's not super fast, but still faster than your old computer, is the graphics. But you're not gaming with it, so that's fine. It has much faster storage. They have solid-state drives. It has much faster memory. Yes, it's probably, you know, 10 times faster, something like that.
Okay.
You'll like it.
Good to know. Is it worth getting the Fusion drive as opposed to the regular 5400? That's kind of slow.
They offer a solid-state, which I believe they do on the newest ones, I would get that. And then what you'll do, that's not going to be huge, because the solid-state drives, which are just like your camera memory, it's flash memory, they are more expensive per gigabyte. So you'll get a smaller drive that's just for the operating system and apps. 256 gigabytes is plenty. And then, because you're a photographer, you have big files, you'll get an external drive that you'll plug into the back. That could be USB 3 or, better yet even, although more expensive, Thunderbolt. And then that external drive will be your data drive. Put all your, you know, put your documents, your folders, everything on that external drive.
Okay. And my last question is, with a Mac, does it have a parental control similar to an iPad?
Excellent parental
controls. For the
kids? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. That would be so much better than a PC for the kids, I think.
No, I know. You want to let the kids use the computer, but you don't want to let them screw it up. So parental controls are very, very valuable. Yeah, you can say, you can do a lot of stuff. You could pin an app and say, only this app. You can very much limit what they can do with it, which is what you want.
Awesome. Okay, well, we will try it out. And if I like it, then probably get an iMac.
I think that's a sensible way to do it. Yeah. Go with the cheapest Mac you can get. See if it works for you. And then if it does, maybe next year. Hey, thanks for the call. Great to talk to you. Have a great day. Leo Laporte,
the tech guy.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bob Dylan, Steve Jobs' favorite artist. He loved the Dylan. 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, use Skype. We get lots of callers all over the world because we are on the Internet. It's an amazing thing, this Internet. 888-827-5536. Moving on. Tony, Stevensville, Montana. Hey, Tony.
How you doing?
I'm great. How you?
Good. Yeah, I'm sawing branches down here while I'm on hold.
Nice. That's it. You get some exercise. You're feeling good, enjoying the fresh Montana air. How nice is that?
Outstanding.
Yeah. Really nice.
Hey, I have been trying to find a source for equipment. I've got all these old 8mm videotapes with lots
of
high quality, because some of it's analog, some of it's digital.
Yeah, me too. I have a bunch of high 8 tapes, yeah.
Yeah, I got high 8, digital 8, analog. I got all three formats.
Yep. I love that format.
Yeah, and clear. So I've seen some of the relatives have sent some of their stuff in and through Costco and a couple other outfits. Really big loss of quality in the picture. You know, I play.
Yeah, and you do you still have the camcorder that you used?
Well, I do. I got two of them, and I'm not really even sure if either of them work.
Yeah, me too. Mine's sticky. Yeah. Mine's sticky for some reason. It's like my kid must have eaten a candy bar over it. So I'm really reluctant to take these tapes, which are the only copy of this stuff, and put it in a sticky camcorder to see if it works.
Right.
So I like you. I'm sitting here with these tapes going, there's some precious stuff on here, but how do I get it off?
Yeah, and I've got some stuff from backcountry wilderness that just would knock your socks off. It's amazing.
Yeah. So there, as you know, I wouldn't have Costco do it.
No. And I don't want to send my tape away either.
Well, that's the other problem. To go to a good company to do this costs you money.
Right. And I know stuff about some of this stuff. It's like you get the right stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, get a quote and then see what it would cost to get you. I would get a high 8 deck. They make, like, not camcorders, but playback decks. This is if I were going to do
this.
Who makes those? Well, it was Sony. I don't know who makes them anymore. You're going to get it on eBay, I think, almost certainly. I doubt anybody's selling them.
Oh, okay. Then no one makes them anymore. Okay, that was what.
Oh, no, gosh, no.
Okay.
No.
Maybe.
And then the other question is, what kind do you get? Because you have analog and digital. I would bet that the digital will play back the analog, but I can't guarantee that. This is, by the way, why people end up biting the bullet and going to a service bureau, because they have everything, you know, and they've been maintaining these things. And that's why you're paying them a lot of money, because they have all the playback devices. Scan Cafe is the big national company. I've sent people there, and I've used them for stills, for paper pictures.
Oh, okay.
And they do a great job. But I don't know if they do high 8. I think they do. They'd be crazy if they didn't.
Right.
And then there are even more professionals, the ones the pros go to, people like B&H Photo that will do conversion maybe, you know.
Right.
So that's what I would. And if it's you're going to have to do some triage and think about, do I need everything converted?
Right. Yeah. It's probably a quarter of everything I got, but there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'd first contact Scan Cafe because they're so big. Okay. They're very affordable.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they'll do everything you have. But you make a note, make a list of all the different formats. There's more than one, obviously.
Right.
And yeah, eBay does sell high decks. The chat room's found a link. So,
okay.
But again, you could get one, and it might not work with some tapes. I mean, this could end up ballooning into something even more expensive. Yeah.
And say a guy got something you could play all your stuff back on. So is.
But they'll send you a DVD. In most cases, they send you a DVD with the video on it. Nowadays, nowadays it'd be great if they sent you just like a hard drive. Just send me a hard drive.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
give me it all on a hard drive. But if I did it myself, is there a way to take that?
Oh, yeah. So what you're going to have is you need something that'll play it back. And, you know, that means the physical format as well as the storage format. You need to convert it. So it'll play it back as analog, because all those things expected to be hooked up in those days to analog television sets or something. So you're now going to get something that converts an analog signal into the bits that your computer needs.
And okay.
That's a video. Yeah, that's a video converter. A lot of companies make those. Grass Valley bought the company that I like for this kind of stuff. So I'd go to Grass Valley. They make the ADVC. And there's a variety of levels of ADVC. Don't get USB, though, unless it's USB 3, because it needs to be fast enough. So it has to be USB 3 or FireWire or Thunderbolt. It has to be a fast transfer. You can also get internal cards if you have a tower PC that'll do the same thing. But that's what you need. And by the time you add up the Hi8 deck, the ADVC converter, your time, I think you're going to go to Scan Cafe. That's what I always end up saying. I could do this. We hear the same thing. People want to scan, you know, I've got my my pictures from the Civil War, and I want to scan them in. The only risk, and I don't know of anybody that this has happened to, but there is a risk as you ship these things that they could get lost in the mail. Insure the heck out of them.
That's true, and I think I could have fun doing it. And a
you've
lot
got
of
time.
Editing.
Yeah. Well, and that's you could edit it though after you get them from Scan Cafe too.
Well,
but
that's true. Oh, I see. Yeah.
You're going to get a digital format that you can.
Deal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're talking about blanket.
General nerdery in our chat room. I think he's a 4-star general. Says TaylorMadeTransfers.com. He's used them before. He's very happy with them. TAILOR MadeTransfers.com. Shopping around. You may be able to get a deal as well. We're going to take a break. Chris Marquardt, the photo guy, is coming up. I think we're going to do a review of our assignment. For the last month, we've been asking people to take pictures to illustrate the word or the idea. Awake. Or was it asleep? No, I guess it's asleep this time. Gee, I wish I'd remembered that. There are quite a few people who have been in the studio sleeping in the last few weeks. I put them out. We had a guy visit a couple of weeks ago, fell asleep during the show. We left him there. I mean, I don't want to wake him up. He seems happy. You're in that chair. It's a very comfortable chair, right? You could fall asleep in there. And I think he didn't wake up till the evening, that evening. He'd come a long way and hadn't slept. So I thought, well, I got a little blanket, covered him up. We have a blanket over here just for that occasion. 88. If I'd only taken a picture. 8888 Ask Leo. Well, some people have. They've submitted their sleeping pictures to Flickr, and we're going to go through them. Chris Marquardt, our digital photography guy. Somebody's in the chat. H-Bomb's asking. It was not somebody in the chat room. It was H-Bomb. Was he dead? No, he was. I looked, and his chest was slowly going up and down. He seemed in a deep, happy sleep, occasionally chuckling. So I just left him. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, right after this. More.
Welcome to the Chris Marquardt photo segment. I am your host, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And here he is, all the way from Viewfinder Villa, Chris Marquardt.
Hi, Chris. I'm sorry. We've been listening to in the break, Paul, the amazing Paul Frees.
I heard it. I was on that ride, actually, yeah.
The haunted house ride in Disneyland. And it's still his voice. Yes. He passed away many years ago, but it's still
his
voice. It's wonderful.
By the way, congratulations to 10 years of TWiT. We have a double anniversary. I have 10 years of Tips from the Top Floor yesterday.
Well, I think all the original podcasts began right around now. The first podcast came out in the fall of 2004, including The Tech Guy, which is actually older than TWiT. And we'd started TWiT in April of 2005, and you started Tips from the Top Floor at that time.
April the 18th, 2005.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Chris and I met, in fact, at one of the first podcast expos. That's how we know each other. But I was at the National Association of Broadcasters convention this week, and there's a couple of rows dedicated to podcasts still. I don't know about you. It is a traditional podcast. It's audio. It's you and a microphone. It's very simple. It's distributed on the internet. But I feel like podcast is a little bit demeaning. It's not a. That sounds like it's. Oh, go ahead and go do your little show. It's okay. You can do a little show. Let the professionals.
Obviously people
can
make a living off it. Yeah, you know.
Right. Let the professionals take the. But I feel like it's all internet broadcasting is really what it is.
Yes, it is.
Nobody listens on an iPod anymore, so that name is outdated.
Yeah, we still have a long way to go until it's entirely mainstream. I've just noticed that over the last weeks.
But going to NAB, the other thing is, so I'm watching this little tiny podcast alley, right, which is tiny. But almost all of the rest of NAB is devoted to streaming internet video and audio.
Sure.
So clearly this thing has exploded, and it's silly to think of yourself as this little alley when, in fact, people who broadcast on the internet are equal to people broadcast anywhere. This is a medium. Anyway, I don't know why I said that, but I just want to say congratulations on 10 years of Tips from the Top Floor, which
and
continues to be.
I'm not wearing a tie because I don't have one.
No. You should have a little. Are you going to have a little party at the Viewfinder Villa?
We'll have a glass of whiskey later on.
Good.
Yes.
All right. Seems like it was only 8 years ago. Yeah. So, do we have a review?
Yes, we do have an assignment review. The asleep assignment is finally over, and I've again made three choices out of the 85 pictures that people submitted. An amazing amount of sleeping pet pictures. I mean, it's probably half of them are sleeping dogs and cats.
They're right there.
Yes,
right?
Of course it is. Yeah. Yeah, and they sleep all the time, you know. So I've made a choice. Only one of them is like a proper pet. That's the first one, handed in by Sierra 90. And it's from a photography point of view, yeah, sure, you could probably do a better job. But the reason I picked it is because it depicts one thing. If you shoot a picture of your pet, and this one is not asleep, it's a dog, it's not asleep, it is lying on a patio of some sort, and it's looking into the camera, and the camera clearly fired a flash. It's probably a smartphone or something that has the flash really close to the camera, and you get these greenly lit eyes. That's what happens when you shoot. That's the equivalent to red eye in people.
Yeah, why is that, by the way? The people are red and dogs are green. That's so
strange. It's the retina reflecting, and I think animals have an additional layer in there to enhance the light in some way. Oh. The only thought I had when I saw this, and I had a smile, was just like, okay, you can unplug the dog now, it's charged.
I love it. Sierra 90, and by the way,
so not quite asleep.
No prize, just acknowledgement, and thanks to everybody. We got so many wonderful, and as you say, sleeping pets. A lot of
yeah.
Them,
well,
so.
The second one is not a pet per se. It's a sheep mom with a lamb kind of hanging over it, being asleep. The reason I chose that is because of the light. Look how beautiful the light is. There's light coming from the right side. It's sunlight. It's evening sun. The sun is low, it's warm, the colors are saturated. And if you look along the edges of the sheep, you see these bright, we call it hair light or rim light. That happens when the light comes from the side or from behind. It just lights it up in this most beautiful way, gives it good definition at the edges. So it's a good separation from the background.
Yeah.
And that's something, if you see that kind of a light, you got to shoot.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous. Now, I understand those of you listening are saying, well, that's nice. Wish I could see it. We'll put links in the show notes so you can see the pictures. And you can also go to Flickr.com and look at the Tech Guy group. That's where all these pictures have been submitted. So who did did we credit the sheep herder?
Johnson Keith. I think I didn't say the name.
Very
yeah.
nice.
And the third one is not asleep at all. Actually, James Arrolus called it the city that's never asleep. And it's, is that New York?
The city that never sleeps. Yes, I believe that's
Should be.
New York. I'm looking for the pictures, so I'll see if I can.
Yeah, it's Manhattan after dusk.
Yeah.
So what we see is a bridge in the foreground with cars. It's a longish exposure, so you see light streaks of the headlights of the cars. In the background, you see the city being, well, with all the lights up on in the buildings. And the only thing that I think could have helped this picture if James had taken it a bit later. Because what you see is a pretty bright sky. I'm pretty sure it didn't seem as bright when he was there because it's a longish exposure. Again, I think he's shooting for a second. So that brightened up the sky quite a lot. And there's this magic time in terms of light over cities called the blue hour. When you have the sky being so dark that when you shoot at a long exposure that you get the sky to be almost as bright or virtually the same brightness as the buildings in the foreground, and then you have this deep blue sky. And that would be the only thing to say about this. James, next time you do this, go back to the same spot, but just try to be there like 10 to 15 minutes later. Do some more shots, and then when the sky is starting to darken down, it'll make this beautiful shot even more beautiful.
I think mentioned this before, but that's often what makes the difference between a good photographer and a great photographer is the patience. Knowing when's the best time to be there, and then the patience to be there or to see something and say, hey, this is going to look better in 15 minutes, and just wait. Because people like me, I'm moving on. I'm done.
You got the shot. Yeah. You got to run.
And I got whatever's there. I got it. Moving on. But it makes such a difference. And I've been with great photographers, and their patience always impresses me. I've waited. I remember waiting with Bruce Dale, who's a National Geographic photographer, waiting in a beautiful cove, which I thought was beautiful just as it was, for 2 hours till the light was just right. And that's the difference. His shot was so much nicer than mine. Chris Marquardt is at discoverthetopfloor.com. He's a great place to go to not only listen to his 10-year-old podcast, which is still full of great stuff for digital photographers of all stripes, but also his photo workshops and more. I think you need to give us a new assignment before you take off. What do you got?
Yeah, the new assignment is anniversary.
Well, it is our 10th anniversary, isn't it, Chris? Yeah. So anniversary, take a picture. You're going to submit as many as one a week to our Flickr group. That's flickr.com. If you're not a member, you should be. Everybody should join Flickr. It's free. Join the Tech Guy group and then submit your photo with the tag anniversary in it. Renee Silverman will let you know she got it and welcome you. She's the moderator of the group. And we'll give you a month. In a month, we'll pick three more great shots and talk about them on the radio. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Chris. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Back to the phones.
Right after this.
The great Paul Freeze. I don't know who's playing the organ. I think it's a ghost. 8888, ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Dale in San Diego's next. Hi, Dale. How you doing?
Hi, Leo. I'm doing good.
Great.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm trying to do something, and I'm not sure as to whether or not it'll work or not. I'm buying a Slingbox 500 because it has the HDMI in the back of it.
That's right.
And I also have the Amazon Fire Stick.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to plug the Fire Stick into the back of the Slingbox and be able to watch, you know, TV, basically stuff on the Amazon from my cell phone.
Yeah, although it's kind of a long way around to go to get internet stuff because your cell phone has internet access. You could get most of those, if not all of those channels, just by adding apps to your cell phone and eliminate the Slingbox entirely. Well, generally, you use Slingbox to connect to your home cable or satellite setup because that's not broadcast on the internet, although increasingly even that is. If you get an Xfinity X1 box or a TiVo box, you can watch those all over the place without the Slingbox.
I don't know if you're familiar with Cody, but I'm trying to get Cody because the cable company has basically said that I can't watch my Dodger games. So
the Dodger games. That's different.
Yeah.
Now I can help you. So Major League Baseball, have you tried the MLB at-bat application?
That's something you have to subscribe to.
It is.
And I think with the Cody, I think you're actually able to bypass that.
Okay. I'm not familiar with what is this Cody of which you speak?
It's something that's sideloaded.
Sideloaded on the Amazon.
Right, exactly. Sideloaded onto the Amazon stick.
So it's an app that's taking local broadcast?
Well, it allows you to get a lot of different stuff. I mean, there's movies, there's sports, there's...
Oh, this is XBMC. That's right. They renamed themselves.
Yeah.
Yes. I forgot the XBMC decided to call themselves Cody. Now I know. I do. Thank you, chat room. You're putting XBMC on the Fire Stick. XBMC, right. The reason they renamed themselves is it stood for Xbox Media Center. And it was a rewrite of the Xbox Media Center software that is, you know, since open source. It's now KODI. So you can sideload that on the Fire Stick. That's nice to know. And then how do you get Major League Baseball on that?
Well, there's different programs in there. I'm not exactly sure as to whether or not I'll be able to get it. I think I will be.
You know that's pirated, right?
What is?
That stream that you're watching.
Oh.
I mean, I understand. I just can't. I think it would be imprudent of me to help you go any farther on this because it would be an illegal use. You know how Major League Baseball, they say that unauthorized use or description of these events is highly prohibited and you're going to go to jail and $1,000 fine per incident, and I don't want to get involved in it. However, I think that that's one you could probably get some assistance with. I prefer to pay for the MLB at Bat program, which I find great, solves all of this because it's going to degrade a bit because you're going to get it via the internet to your home, put it on the sling box, and then put it back on the internet to wherever you are. You'd probably be better off just getting the at Bat program and doing it that way. The only issue with MLB, and this is one of the reasons that I think people do pirate Major League Baseball, if you're listening, is they have blackouts, and they have weird blackouts. I know, and this is a very old-fashioned idea. Remember that you wouldn't be able to see the local game unless it was sold out? Then that changed in some weird way, and I don't know. I don't even understand the rules. Nobody understands the rules. And so that's what people go crazy, and they say, well, I want to watch my gosh darn game. I like the MLB at-bat game, and I wish you could watch live local games. If you could, it would be worth the $150 a season. It's even cheaper if you just want to listen to the audio. I like it because then I can listen to my home announcers when the Giants are you know, playing in the World Series, which happens, I guess, every other year now. I don't want to listen to the network announcers. I want to listen to my local guys. And so I love the MLB at-bat. If you're a baseball fan, that's the way to go. If you're Giants fans this year, yeah, you know, every other year, right? This isn't our year. Next year. Now we say hi to Matthew in Ontario. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
Very good. How you doing?
I have actually two questions. I have a late 2013 MacBook Air, and I'm not getting the option to update to OS 10 Yosemite.
You're not? Well, that's a shocking, shocking thing. All you have to do is go to the App Store, search for Yosemite, and it'll say download Yosemite installer, and you say yes, please. So the way updates work a lot with Apple is that at first they don't notify you. They put it on the store. You could download it and stuff. And then eventually, if you don't do it, they'll start bugging you. But they don't want to bug you. So just go to the App Store. That's where the app updates are from now on. Next question.
And I'm looking at a 2015 MacBook Pro with Retina display.
Sure. Well, who wouldn't?
And I like the Force Touch, but I'm also – I run Windows in a boot camp. And I was wondering if the Taptic engine will work with the Windows.
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't tried that. I like the Taptic engine, too. The whole idea is instead of having a click pad that actually clicks, you know, when you push on it, it doesn't move. In fact, when the laptop is off, it's solid as a rock. But then you turn it on, and magically it feels like it's moving because they've added a little click. They call it Taptic. It's a haptic little buzzer in there that just psychologically it makes it feel like it's clicking. I expect we'll see more uses in applications for this. It makes a lot of sense in iMovie, for instance, or YouTube. You can force click, which means press deep. It knows how deeply you're pressing. The harder you press it, the faster the movie will speed up, things like that. So will this work in Windows? Well, the limited clicking part will, because that's a hardware thing. So the idea that I believe, and I haven't tried it, but I believe, I'll have to try it when I get home tonight, that the Windows will feel like it's clicking and all of that. What we'll be missing is the applications won't expect it, so they won't be designed to work with that. Now, but I would guess, and let me ask Knox Harrington if he knows, because he's in our chat room, or anybody who's tried this, if Windows itself understands the force click, because that's the question. Or are you just going to be pressing for no reason? It seems to me that's got to be in hardware. But I don't know. You know what? Let me install it tonight, and I'll let you know. We'll put it in the show notes, Matthew. That's a great question I didn't even think about. How does Windows handle this proprietary Apple technology? I would think drivers would do it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater, digital photography, anything with a chip in it. I would love to talk to you about it. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. 8888 Ask Leo. That's 888-827-5536. And yes, that's a toll-free number. Anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Outside the country, you just use your Skype out and you can call. We also have a great website, I'm proud to say, techguylabs.com. Maybe not the most beautiful website in the world, but very functional. We take each show, we divide it hour by hour, call by call. You can drill right down to the call you want. You can listen to the audio, see the video, get all the links. I love it. And there's no charge. Techguylabs.com. No sign up. Why would you need to give me your email address to use the website? Just use it. I don't want your email address. TechGuyLabs.com. It's Tyler, the creator in Santa Monica. Hi, Tyler.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad to get through. Been listening to the show for a few years now. I really enjoy it. So.
Thank you. Very nice.
Yeah, so I had a question. I've sort of been in the market for just a cheap computer. In the past, I've built and bought computers to do audio engineering and stuff
neat.
Like that.
So it's not gaming, but it's audio that you do.
Yeah, I mean, I've gamed too, but, you know, I've switched over to Mac to use, like, Logic and Reason and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, it's the best for that, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Never any driver issues with the hardware. That was my problem. I built a PC for audio engineering, and everything I plugged into it was just a nonstop search for drivers. So.
It's so funny because, you know, as an industry, the audio industry and recording technology is... did you have a burrito earlier? I'm sorry, I didn't... now my train of thought just went out the door with that motorcycle. Just for some reason, and no real technical reason, I don't think, adopted the Macintosh. So, of course, all the hardware, you know, is kind of designed around the Macintosh. They always make drivers for the Mac first. Kind of the reverse of, say, business software, where everybody just assumes you're using Windows. There's no technical reason, as far as I know, for that, but it is just the case.
Yep.
So
I've been looking for just a cheap computer, you know, something I could Netflix with, get on the internet. If there was some gaming, that would be great. And I stumbled across, I don't know if you've heard of it, the Google Chrome bit that they're coming out with. The little...
So I'm a Chromebook fan. I love them. But you're right. They now have one. It looks like a USB key, but with HDMI on it. They haven't announced a price. They say under $100. Which makes it pretty attractive. But it's not going to be good for audio engineering in the least.
No. I would just, you know, like I said, I'm just sort of looking for something cheap that'll just, you know, Netflix, internet.
Perfect for that.
You know, yeah, exactly. But I saw, you know, after finding that, I did a little research, and there's all these Chinese companies that make Android versions.
There's lots of Android sticks.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you had any recommendations or experience with any of those.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, Android is really designed to be it's Linux. It's compact. Again, not recommended for audio. In fact, Android does have a technical limitation that is, you know, you've probably seen there's a million and one great audio and music making apps for the iPad. Very few on the Android side. And I did not know this, but I recently learned it's because... for some reason, and nobody's been able to figure this out or fix it, there is some significant latency on the audio chain, about at least 10 milliseconds. Now, you might say, well, one millisecond is 1,000, so that's 1/100th of a second. But as you know, as a musician, if you're in a band and and you're half a beat off,
the world of difference.
If you saw Whiplash, you're dragging the beat is not a good thing.
No,
you get a cymbal thrown at your head. So,
Apple's just great for that.
And Apple has for some reason, there is very low audio latency on the iOS devices. So, as long as you don't intend to use Android for
You could use it for a Logic or something like that because latency doesn't matter. But for live performance or interaction with other musicians, it's a bad choice.
Okay. And yeah, go ahead.
So these are cheap. By the way, they're going to be Windows devices like this. You can get a Raspberry Pi with Windows 10 on it for $35. Okay. Bucks. This is the new thing, and this is what you're seeing is as devices shrink in size, shrink in the need for power, you're going to be able to see computers in everything as these chips get more and more efficient. Intel, Samsung, and I'm sure Apple soon are all making chips with what they call a 14-nanometer process. That's 14 billionths of a meter. It is almost a couple of molecules, just a little more than a few molecules thick. That's the, wow, the lines. You can't get much smaller. At some point, it's just too small. So we are now, but what happens when you get that small is power consumption goes down, heat goes down, and speed goes up because things are closer together. It's a very amazing technology. We live in amazing times. This is angels on the head of a pin times 10.
Yeah, I was, I didn't even know they existed until I saw that thing about the Chrome bit. And, you know, now I've been looking, there's the Intel makes one.
Everybody's going to make them. Yep, Intel announced one as well.
The Apple one would be awesome.
Apple will never make one.
Oh, no.
I shouldn't never say never. You never know with Apple. But the Apple is one company, and they are very choosy about the categories they enter. And they only enter a category where they see some value that they can add and a significant markup. And that is aiming at the low end of the market, isn't it? So Apple has no interest in that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's probably...
I have no problem with those. I mean, because you're using, Unix... Android is Unix. You've got capabilities. Even the Chromebook, you can put Linux on it and use it as a standalone computer. I don't know how Linux is for music creation.
Do you know if some of those Android HDMI adapters, if they're rootable?
Absolutely.
Like Android phones are?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
That's the
so
one
you
can
do anything you want.
Android.
You can turn them into a brick if you want. No, it's a great time to be a hacker, let me tell you. And I mean that in a good way, not the bad guy hacker, but in a good way, to somebody who could take hardware and understand software well enough to modify it. Boy, you're in a wonderful time. Raspberry Pi, $35, and it's going to come with Windows 10. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And those things, they have Ethernet ports, USB ports. They're amazing devices. They're real computers.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call. You sound like you're having fun with technology, and that's great. Music has really benefited from all this. And I was very surprised, but I do understand now why, even though there are lots of inexpensive, good Android tablets, there are very few music creation apps for Android. Apple really owns that space. And if that's what you want to do, I think you're going to probably end up getting a Mac or an iOS device. No, I don't think that was actually the Tyler, the creator, but Tyler, a creator. Do I have time? I got a minute left. Tell you what, we'll take a break. And when we come back, more of your calls. How about that? 8888 Ask Leo. Website is techguylabs.com. And Tyler, Breakabit says your new album is fantastic. So I think he saw you at Coachella. Dancing in the crowd there. You should, Heather, go with that feather boa. You'd have been great at Coachella. You don't do those things, though, those festivals.
I think they wear their feathers on their heads now.
Yeah, that's all they
like
wear.
Like an Indian.
8888 Ask Leo. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Just a half an hour, 45 minutes left in the Tech Guy program. 888-827-5536. And don't forget, of course, the website. This way you don't have to write anything down. TechGuyLabs.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. More after this. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Hope you're all dancing to the music. Yeah, Joe Cocker passed, didn't he? Yeah. We were talking about the Woodstock generation, and we're all getting a little older now. But the Rolling Stones are still here, and they're going back on tour. So there you go. Troy in Morton, Washington. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Hi, Troy.
Troy was very embarrassed that I mentioned his name. Steve in Irvine, California. Hi, Steve.
Good day.
Good day. Yeah, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm kind of techie from the past. I was well involved building my own computers, PCs, back in the 90s and early 2000s. And I'm not technically illiterate, but at the same time, I'm trying to do something simple. I have X10 from the old days. You know, I used to automate my house. It was awesome because you could do the whole house from one room or automate a whole bunch of things. But now everything you seem to buy has to go to a server on the internet. I'm trying to control it locally.
Right.
Is there a way I can take some of those devices and somebody's making apps that control them from my Wi-Fi network instead of sending them out to a server?
That is interesting. You're right. And that is a potential risk, of course, because anything that goes out to the public internet means that you have an ingress as well as an egress into your network.
If you have your security system tied into it, unlock your front door or your garage door and somebody hacks it, they can literally get into your house.
So many people want the internet access so that they can, you know, check in on cameras from work and that kind of thing. But I think that's reasonable. X10 is still around and is, of course, not internet enabled, I think.
Well, there's an interface, but it's very clunky and it's very reliable. And
it's highly proprietary. Nobody supports it, you know, and that's a really great question. Can we do smart home automation and get smart devices? What are the devices you'd like?
Well, I've purchased a Wink, and I also purchased another brand where everything's actually built into the light bulb itself. You know, it probably has a chip with a MAC address and the whole nine yards, but I just want to control it locally through my... I'm surprised somebody hasn't already come up with an app that goes straight to your Wi-Fi and addresses them without having to go to the server, but maybe it's proprietary and there's no way they can get through to it.
Boy, it's a really great question. I can totally see why you would want to do this. You don't need to go to the... You shouldn't need to go to the internet if you're not going to try to... You know, set your thermostat from by remote control or open the garage door. And I just don't know the answer to that one. And I'm asking the chat room if they do. They say, you know, the problem is nowadays it's not considered smart if it's not internet enabled. And so most of these people are making these kind of, you know, but I'm thinking my Philips Hue lights, for instance, are not internet enabled. I control them from an app on my smartphone and there's no internet access to them. Insteon, our sponsor SmartThings, I'm trying to think. I don't think SmartThings require, does it require a login to the SmartThings servers? No, I don't think so. Take a look at SmartThings. I really like these. And disclaimer, they're a sponsor. And it's funny, I set it up so long ago, I don't remember. I use the SmartThings app on the smartphone. It uses our Wi-Fi. Some devices, like the Nest thermostat, are designed to go out on the internet. Nest wants to, for instance, get the local weather report every day to know how hot to set your house, that kind of thing. But
yes, I've noticed that in the stores for a couple of years.
Yeah, and Sonos needs to go on the internet to get music. I mean, things like that. But I think the basic SmartThings units, I don't think you have to connect them to the internet, and I don't think... is it all cloud? Shoot. So funny, because once you set it up, you forget. You log in now, and I don't know. It is cloud, because you know why it's cloud? Because I can use it from here. So it is cloud. Of course it's cloud.
Why technology has developed something you can turn your lights off from around the world, but they haven't developed a refrigerator that will tell you if somehow it shuts off and you got to go home before your food spoils.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it already be integrated into our appliance?
Well, it will be. Samsung and others have announced smart refrigerators that do that exactly that.
It seems like they're working backwards. They're working on stuff to get into your home, not to help you out.
I think you've posed a really good question. Stay tuned. We might be able to say something before the show's over. If not, let's put it on the site, the Tech Guy Lab site, and people can make their comments. It sounds like, Berserker says, I was looking for the same thing, and I have not been able to find any sites that just use my internal Wi-Fi. He says there was a company that did it a few years ago and they went out of business. Well, there's your answer right there. Is the Insteon Hub, is that that's Insteon that owns X10. Is that does that require internet access? I don't know. Very good question. I think a question a lot of people don't ask because they want to be able to control stuff online. But if you don't, it would be prudent not to open that door, right? If you have an idea, 8888-ASK-LEO, or go to the website, techguylabs.com. Rick in Redondo Beach. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Leo. Love your show.
Thank you. AMX and Crestron are local only, and they use their own. I think Crestron at least uses its own network. So there's an answer from the chat room. Hi. So what can I do for you, Rick?
So I took the upgrade to Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one mistake I made while taking the upgrade was I enabled the iCloud Drive.
Yes.
Yes.
This is a little-known and highly misunderstood Apple feature that was in beta until about a minute ago. What's been happening with your iCloud Drive?
So it just keeps trying to sync. And Apple
doesn't seem to really have a grip on networked services yet. And I don't know why, because everybody knows this. It started with MobileMe, then iCloud. It's just been a disaster all around. I know Apple's been hiring the best network minds in the country to try to solve it, and they seem to still be struggling with this. And I don't know. I don't understand why. So it won't sync for you?
It won't sync. I mean, now I have it. You know, I mean, I can let it run for. It's been running for a few hours already. I just took it earlier, and
I just turned it on because, whatever, sure, I'll do it. And I haven't really paid attention if it's doing anything. I don't even know. The only thing I know it is useful for is the new Photos, not iPhoto, but Photos. And it does a smart thing. If you use an iOS device like an iPad or an iPhone, it will make your photos available everywhere but doesn't download full quality versions to use up the space on your portable devices. It'll download thumbnails, and it manages it supposedly intelligently so your device doesn't fill up. I think that's cool. Are you using iCloud for backups?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just thought it'd be nice to kind of have my documents all together, right? You know, wherever
yeah,
I
Yeah, you're not alone. Somebody in the chat room says, my iCloud sync has been running for 48 hours and is stuck even through reboot.
Yep, that's what I did the reboot. I did everything. I did restarts. And, I Googled it, and then some folks said it just automatically started working after a few days.
I have no answer for you. Keep listening. And, you know, I mean, don't rely on it for your only backup, I guess. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, ask Leo. Let's go to Islamabad. Why not? Now, am I going to say it right? Fakhir?
Yes, it's Fakhir.
Fakhir.
Hello.
Hello, Fakhir. How are you? It sounds like I'm clearing my throat. I'm sorry. I'll just go Fakhir, if you don't mind.
That's all right.
It's
that's
great right. to talk to you. I'm so thrilled that you're listening in Islamabad.
Yeah, thank you. And I am your greatest fan. And I would say that the thing which you're doing, the service, is great service. And most of all, you have a wonderful voice.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right.
What can I do? What can I do to make your day a little better?
Yeah, I have two questions. And first of all, I did not thank you for taking my call. So
You're
I would
very
like
welcome.
To thank you.
You're very welcome. What time is it in Islamabad? It must be the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. It's 1:33.
Wow.
In the night.
Well, then I thank you. You're exactly 12 hours difference. I thank you for staying up late with us.
Yeah, actually, I work in the night because my company in the U.S. And I recently got this laptop. The question was also about the laptop, which I bought from Best Buy.
Okay.
And my main question is regarding the video editing.
Okay.
I have a wedding video of my sister, and I wanted to enhance the quality because it has MP4. I'm a nerd myself. I'm a basically developer, but I don't know anything about the video editing stuff. So,
right. As
I listen to you all the time, so I hope that you have a good advice regarding the video editing software, because currently I use the CyberLink powered director.
Don't use that. I mean, it's okay. That's a very consumer-focused product designed to make it easy, but it's, you're right. It's not, you're probably a little frustrated with it. Do you want to make a DVD? Is that the end goal?
Actually, I want to enhance the video quality because it's like more than 12 years old.
Yeah, okay.
So
probably the higher end programs will have more capabilities. In fact, you could go out and get not only get a high end program like Adobe Premiere, but then buy additional plugins used to do exactly this. And there are quite a few. So it just depends what the flaw is in the video that you want to enhance.
It's actually the contrast and the brightness which I want to do. But when I do with this software, it increases it too much, and you know it looks unreal.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I you could start with it's under $100 US, the Adobe Premiere Elements. It's going to be much better, much better than the Cyberlink software. Another good choice, if you want to get a little more expensive, Sony makes a great package, about $400, called Vegas. And it will have some excellent tools in there for exactly that. So, and then the next step up, which is closer to $1,000, is Adobe Premiere, the full version. Vegas is pretty amazing. And for an individual working in, you know, doing your own stuff, it is a very, very, I think, a very good choice. Premiere Elements probably has the tool you want, though, and it's under $100. So I think that's a good choice.
All right.
Yeah.
I will try that.
Yeah.
And the other question which I have regarding the internet security webroot, I basically got this Y7070 laptop from Best Buy.
Yeah.
And it came with this, you know, webroot internet security software.
Get rid of that. You don't need that. And and by the way, when did you buy this?
I got this last week. I asked my partner who was coming over here.
Here's the good news. There's no Superfish on it, because that's the other thing. You probably read about that. Lenovo was putting a horrifically bad program on there called Superfish, but they stopped that before last week, so that's good news.
Yeah, even if they've installed it, I listen to you all the time, so I'm pretty much aware
because you know how to remove
the Superfish. Good. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. I would have removed that.
Webroot's an antivirus and security program. I would uninstall that as well. You know, the trialware is just whoever is going to give Lenovo enough money to make it worth their while. I personally, you got a Windows 8.1 laptop. It comes with Microsoft Defender, which is a decent antivirus. Yeah. And if you've listened to the show, you know that really what you do is much more important than the security software you're running.
Right, but it is for the 5 devices. And I also have this MacBook Pro with i7 and, you know, with Retina. And I also have iPhone 6 Plus. And it is for Android and for...
You don't need it on anything else. Windows is the only thing that needs security software. You don't need it on iOS. You don't need it on Android. Just be careful where you get programs on Android. iOS forces you, unless you jailbreak it, to get apps from Apple through the store. And they're fairly careful, not perfect, but fairly careful about making sure those apps are not malicious. Android, you can check a box that says... get it anywhere. You can jailbreak your Android phone in the settings, in effect. And so don't do that. But if you get stuff from Google's Play Store, Google also has built in a scanner, you're fine. You don't need anything additional on a mobile device. So really, right, and Macs don't need anything either. Macs don't need anything either. Now, do you run this stuff on a home network behind a router?
Yes, I do. Also on the office, I have Cisco routers.
Then you're fine. You don't even need Webroot on your PC. By the way, Lenovo does not install Webroot. That's a Best Buy thing.
No, they did not install it. They basically provided this DVD in a box.
Yeah, it comes from Best Buy.
They did not install it.
I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. I think you add more problems than have you had any problems?
No, absolutely not. Because it comes free, and any time when something comes free, I feel skeptical about it.
you know?
Yes, you should. Well, it's free for 6 months, and then you're going to have to what they hope to do is get you hooked on it, and then every time it renews, you'll pay another $80 or whatever to renew it. And I don't think you need it. Windows now comes with an antivirus. Great solution, Microsoft. Thank you, finally. So let's take advantage of it. No, don't install anything additional, but follow the rules of safe computing. I've got to run, Fahir. It's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for listening in Pakistan. It's so great to have you on the show. Couple more minutes in the show. We'll take a few more calls. If you're on the line, hang on the line, and we will talk to you. 8888-ASK-LEO, techguylabs.com. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. Final minutes of the Tech Guy show for this weekend. Jerry is in Torrance.
Hi, Leo.
Hi, Jerry.
Welcome. I'm certainly glad you were able to take my call today before we ran out of time.
You just made it.
I know. Last time I spoke to you was face-to-face at Comdex, of all things.
Comdex. There's a name that resonates.
My question today is...
dealer show. Yes, sir.
My question today is, my brother and I are traveling to Australia later this year. We're going to dive the Barrier Reef before it goes away.
Yeah.
And I want to know if FaceTime on the iPad would be adequate to chat with the family back home without having an outrageous cell phone bill.
It'd be great. Or Skype, or any solution that uses the internet instead of your 3G, 4G network would be better.
All right, that's great.
Yeah, what you should do with your iPad, if you have 3G built in, 4G built into it, is disable data roaming before you leave the country.
No, it's the iPad does not have the phone connection.
So
in
it's
the
safe.
Chip. Yeah, that's why I wanted to take it, because it wouldn't be trapped into
I've done it from China. I've Skyped. It's a great way to call home. I've done it from all over the world, and as long as you're on a Wi-Fi network that's fast enough, you can get audio and video. It's great, and it's free.
Well, that's great. The Skype will actually work on the iPad, right?
Absolutely. Well, the only reason I say that is because FaceTime is iPad to iOS and Mac only.
Right.
So if you're calling somebody who's not using an Apple device, you can use Skype, but both work equally well.
Well, all of the wives have an iPad.
Perfect.
So we figured that would be a natural.
It's easy. I FaceTime with my mom. I tried to set her up with Skype. She was too confused. She has an iPhone. I said, all right, well, we'll just FaceTime. No big deal.
Yeah.
Works great.
Well, I appreciate it, Leo.
Yeah, and have a great time diving the Great Barrier Reef. We did that 2 years ago, I think, or a year ago, and it was just an amazing experience.
Well, I found out you can't go in the middle of summer, their summer.
Yeah.
You know, our winter is their summer. Apparently, the jellyfish take over.
Yeah, and let's not do that. I was wearing a sting suit, but let's not do that. Yeah, that's
I can't wait to get into my shark food seal suit. And go
It is such an amazing experience. Highly recommend it. And that's one of the great wonders, natural wonders of the world. You must see it.
That's on my bucket list. And Good. The other two items I have on my bucket list is beer and ice.
Hope you have a bucket of both. Have a great trip.
You too. Thanks,
Take care, Jerry. Richard in Placentia is coming up next. He's got his laptop resolution all kerfluggered. We'll see if we can solve that. Tom is, I blew it. Can I get back to that call? I think not. I call back. Tom is on the line from Warren, Ohio. Actually, I'm probably out of time anyway. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Leo. What's going on? Congratulations on your 10th anniversary.
Thank you, my friend. It's been a long, strange trip.
Yeah,
I've never heard that before.
Most of the way. Yeah. I've been with you most of the way. So hopefully we got another 10 more years.
Oh, but, I hope so, too.
Figure it out from there.
Let's go for 20. Why not? What can I do for you?
Anyway, I got a 4K Ultra HD TV about a month ago.
Oh, aren't you fancy?
Yeah, you know, listening to you, I'd have nothing else, you know.
Well, how do you like it? What do you watch on it? Do you have any content?
Yeah, we got Apple TV. We started watching Game of Thrones a little bit.
I guess Netflix is spitting out 4K, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you tell the difference when you're watching a 4K stream?
I haven't really checked it out. Is Game of Thrones in 4K? Do you know? I had it on there, but no.
The only thing I know for sure is House of Cards. That's shot on a Red camera, and the second and third season are both 4K streaming from Netflix. Netflix will check your bandwidth, of course. If you don't have 25 or more gigabits per second, they won't even try.
Yeah, I get about that.
Yeah.
I have my troubles and travails with Time Warner, you know, the cable company.
Oh, I know that. So, yeah, but somebody's
anyway,
telling...
What,
yeah.
What I was getting is ghosting, like, once in a while, and I had to reset it in the settings, and I'm not sure what I did. Maybe I need it calibrated, too. But when I watch a basketball game, because, you know, it's playoff basketball time here in Cleveland, and...
It's here in the Bay Area as well. We got those Warriors.
Yeah,
there.
That's right. Hopefully we end up for the Cavaliers and the Warriors.
That'd be fun. The networks would hate it, but we would love it.
Two not major markets.
Yeah, they'd hate it. Oh, they'd hate it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that'd be great for the fans. Anyway, but when the players
megabits, not gigabits,
sometimes,
but, yeah.
I get some ghosting in there.
Yeah, this is a problem with all LCD. Yeah, all LCD TVs do this, and you can try to fix it. I don't particularly like the effect, although in sports it wouldn't be so bad, by turning on the 60, 120, or 240 kilohertz or hertz. Now, it's who makes a TV?
It's LG.
LG. I can't remember what LG calls it, but what you're going to turn on is
a motion setting.
True
in there,
motion. So. That's it.
Yeah.
So turn on true motion.
Turn on that.
And what that does is LCDs do this because they can't keep up. So you get like blurriness, you get ghosting, exactly what you're describing on action, on stuff where there's lots of fast moving stuff.
Yeah. So when the players start moving,
what they do is you're still only getting the same amount of data from the television signal, right? It's still 30 hertz or 60. It's actually 60 fields times 30 hertz, 30 frames times 2, 60 fields. But and actually, I guess it probably gets converted to a progressive scan, so that's wrong too. But anyway. By taking the 60 frames a second and making it 120, by adding, there's no extra data there, but you add a made up frame in between that is a. I'm not sure if they double it or if they do some sort of interpolation. By doing that, it does smooth it out. But what you get is a more plasticky feel, sometimes like a video feel to the thing. I don't like, but a lot of people, especially for. Sports do like it. Now, if you have true motion turned on, then turn it off and see if that makes it better. Do you have it turned on?
I did a reset the other day, and I wasn't sure what I did because there's a lot of advanced settings in there.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
It corrected the problem.
Good. Probably what it did is it turned true motions on by default on most of these TVs. So probably what it did is it... I think we dropped him. Now, was this Richard with the kerfluggered resolution? Let's see if I can get to Richard real quickly. Hi, Richard. Sorry, I hung up on you.
No, it's all right, Leo. Real quick. My daughter has a year-old Dell Latitude.
Yeah.
And the screen is 1920 by 1080.
Nice.
Shopping again, and the Inspiron 5000, I'm not getting that configuration I need with the 1920s. Is the new True Life High Def 1366 by 768 a big difference?
No. I mean, it is if her eyes are really accustomed to 1080. Basically, it's HD because 720 is considered HD, and it's a little more than 720. I don't like those, but it's because I'm used to higher resolution displays. She may be used to it. Have her look at it. It's fine. It's for a student. It's fine.
And she's a student, and that's the thing. I have to go to a 17-inch if she wants the 1920 again.
But see, that's not, you don't want to do that because that's not going to increase the resolution because your screen's bigger, so the dots aren't going to get any finer.
Right.
So now get the 768. That's fine.
Very good. Thank you, Leo.
Well, that was easy. Thank you. And thanks to Heather Hammond, who dressed to the nines today to celebrate our 10th anniversary of the podcast network. Feather boa and all. You look gorgeous, darling. Go have a cupcake. Thanks to Nathan Staten. I don't know how he's dressed, but I'm sure it's very dashing.
Birthday suit.
Well, that's not okay. Fortunately, he's locked in a studio and we can't tell. He's our musical director. Thanks to you for joining. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great Geek Week.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.